Okay. We are. All right. So today we're going to learn about the Shita one last time. Tomorrow we're on to a Maimer. At the outset of these classes, I emphasized that Moshe Rabbeinu was composing these poetic words with a profusion of prophecy. So he knows what the Pharaoh is saying or thinking. He's aware of what the nations are feeling. And finally now, it concludes with the Jewish people's glorious conclusion. And as the Rebbe once pointed out, Moshe Rabbeinu believed that we would be going into Eretz Yisrael led by Moshe Rabbeinu. And if that were to happen, then the Beis HaMikdash built would have been the eternal one. What we call the proverbial third Beis HaMikdash actually would have been the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, it's not the way it happened. 40 years later, a very different story ensues. Moshe Rabbeinu is left behind in the desert with his people. As the Medrash says, he'll only return when his people return with Tchiyas HaMeisim, which is kind of how Az Yashar begins, right? It's a remez for Tchiyas HaMeisim, an allusion to the resurrection. And instead, Yehoshua leads the Jewish people into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And things are very different. They have to conquer the land by natural means, aided by God, and things are miraculous, but nonetheless, there's a battle that needs to happen. And it takes a long time till Yerushalayim finally gets identified, more than four centuries, in fact. And the first Beis HaMikdash is built, and the second Beis HaMikdash. And there's a long sweep of our history that we're still waiting to see completed. But Moshe Rabbeinu initially has this vision. And after he speaks of the terror and the fear that gripped the inhabitants of Canaan, and he prays that those who would stand in our way will be overcome with fear. In verse 17, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Tvi emay v'sita emay b'har nachalascha." God will bring us and implant us into His ancestral mountain. Mochain l'shivtcha pa'alta, a place for His dwelling, He has created or made. Hashem migdash adnai ken niyodecha. God, a migdash, a sanctuary of God, your hands have fashioned. So let's take a look, beginning in Rashi. What does it mean, tvi'emei? So Rashi says, nisnabe Moshe. Moshe here prophesizes. But his prophecy is not what he realizes. This is kind of similar to what's written elsewhere. Niba v'lo yodama niba, he prophesized without realizing what he prophesized. When Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied, he was saying, tvi'emei, which means, Shalei Yikonis Loretz, bring them into the land. He would not be included. Lakach, therefore, it says, Tvi'emoi, bring them, or him, meaning the nation, V'loi Nemar Tvi'enu. It doesn't say bring us into the land, because Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately prophesies that he would not be the one leading the Jewish people into the land of Israel. And so if Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be the one bringing the people into the land of Israel in this prophecy, then which Migdash is he referring to when he says Migdash Adnai Ken Yodecha, Migdash of God, that is whose hands are fashioned? So Rashi says, firstly, we have this notion of God bringing us, V'sita Emay, implanting us, B'har Nachalascha. Rashi doesn't comment on this. And perhaps it's self-understood when we say the Jewish people will take root in the land of Israel, but this will be the place of our planting. Ibn Ezra emphasizes, Sheyiyo Mushroshim Shama, that we will sink deep and fertile roots into the land of Israel. And the Sepharno says that the idea of Vesita Emoi, Sita Emoi Bahar Nachlascha, be planted in the land of Israel, means that the presence of Hashem and our connection to the land of Israel will never depart from the land, even after we end up in Galut, even after we're exiled. And indeed, the land of Israel remains our land eternally, even when we leave it. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu alludes to when he says, not only Tvi'emoi, not only you'll bring the nation into the land, but also V'sita'emoi, the nation will be planted into the land. And just like a tree can never be fully uprooted if it wishes to survive, we're never fully separated from the land of Israel. We always remain tethered and connected. Bahar Nachalascha, on the mountain of your inheritance. What does this refer to? Once again, Rashi does not comment here. However, if you look in the Ravam, he says this is Eretz Yisrael. all of Israel is called a mountain. Israel is a hilly and mountainous terrain. He said all of Israel is called the mountain of God. Mountain of God refers not to a city, or certainly not to an individual mountain, but rather it's a euphemism for the entirety of our eternal homeland. The Targum Yonasan ben Aziel, however, says that this Har Nachaloscha, this is Har Habayit. This is the Temple Mount, the hotly contested mountain that our Beis HaMikdash was built on twice, that the world denies we have a connection to, and UNESCO has declared the Kisla HaMaravi, the Kotel, the Western Wall, an occupation of somebody else's land. This is patently ridiculous. It's the theater of the absurd. But anyway, that's what it refers to here. The Jewish people have left Egypt a week ago, and already, prophetically, Har Nachaloscha, the mountain of your inheritance, refers to Har Habayis. Machon L'Shivtecha, a place for your dwelling. So what does this mean? So clearly Rashi is going to tell us that when we speak about Machon L'Shivtecha, it's a moishav, it's a dwelling for kvoidcha, for your glory, for your honor. Of course, this refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the word machoin, our sages expounded this word as if it were to read mechuvan. So machoin, which can mean the place, is also synonymous with the Hebrew word mechuvan. What does mechuvan mean? It comes from the terminology kavana. Kavana means intention. In modern Hebrew, when the sharpshooters are taking aim, what do? They mechaven. They focus on a target. Right? So to focus on a target, to be laser focused, is to have kavana, to be mechuvan. So here the word machain comes from the terminology mechuvan. It's precise, it's exact, it's aimed, perfectly situated. What does this mean? It means, says Rashi, that Hamigdash Shomata, that the Beis Hamigdash in this terrestrial world, the lower Beis Hamigdash, is mechuvan. That's why we use the word instead of makom l'shivtcha. We say machoin because we expound that this is mechuvan, that the Beis HaMikdash below is mechuvan, corresponds precisely and exactly to kisei sholmaila, to the throne. This is obviously an anthropomorphism, a euphemism. God doesn't have a throne, doesn't have to sit, doesn't have any corporeality, chas v'shalom. For us, even the entertainment of such a notion is heresy, but it's used like euphemistically and metaphorically, poetically, that there's this throne, there's this place where God's presence is in the exact space of God's presence, and that's the Migdash Shomata, the Beis HaMikdash below, is Mechuvan, is exactly lined up with the Beis HaMikdash Shomayla. And this is how we understand the Har Nachaloscha, that the Har Nachaloscha, then the mountain, it would seem Rashi would follow the Targum Yonasan ben Aziel, that the mountain, the Har Nachaloscha, the mountain of inheritance, that would have to refer specifically to Yerushalayim. And we would say that mountain, Asher Po Alta, this mountain that you made, the mountain is made that it should be perfectly mechuvan, exactly lined up and precise with the Beis HaMikdash Shomayla, which of course is why the Temple Mount remains for us sacred. And that's the ground zero for Jewish spirituality. We believe this is the place that's closest to the presence of God, the place in which is most receptive to be able to connect to our Creator, who obviously is not any more in the heavens than He is on earth. And the idea of a geographic location for us means that there are certain places in which we can achieve a connection uniquely, more so than others. Maybe a metaphor you could use is when the cell phone is near one of the towers, so you have really good reception. So this is the idea of Machin L'Shivtecha. So Machin L'Shivtecha, a place for your dwelling, Po'alta, you have made, Migdash Hashem, a sanctuary of God. Rashi says, Hatam, the way the cantillation of this word, Olav Zokef Gadol, it's called a Zokef Gadol, and a Zokef Gadol is, instead of a tune that continues on, instead of a tune that's a moving tune, it's kind of a tune that comes to an end. Zakev Gadol, it ends. So Zakev Gadol means that you read this Machin L'Shivtecha Pa'alta, and then Hashem Migdash Pa'alta Hashem Migdash Hashem Kain Yodecha. So in other words, the Migdash Hashem is the Migdash of God, and that is to say, Rashi tells us, Lehafride Mitevis Hashem Shel Achrav, to separate from the Tem. So it's Machin L'Shivtecha Pa'alta. Hashem Migdash, Hashem Kain Niyodecha. Hashem a Migdash, for Hashem, His hands have fashioned. The Migdash meaning Hashem is fashioned. To separate it from Hashem Shalachra, from the second time we have Hashem's name. So because we have Hashem, Migdash Hashem. So he says, therefore, you have to read it. Machen l'shivt chapalta, Hashem, Migdash, Hashem, koinu yodecha. And that is to say, that reads, that the Migdash of Hashem, the sanctuary of God, that which is dedicated or designated for the presence of Hashem, the place which is a Migdash, Asher, which, koinu yodecha Hashem, that your hands have fashioned. Now, Rashi adds and he says, take a look and see how Chaviv Beis HaMikdash, how Hashem cherishes the Beis HaMikdash, the Chavivus. Sheha'olam nivro biyad achas. When we talk about the universe, we use the euphemism of one hand. As it says in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu in chapter 48, Isaiah says, Af yodi yasta aretz. My hand created earth. However, when it comes to the Mikdash, when it comes to the Migdash, it says b'shtei yodayim. It says two hands. Koinenu yodecha, not koinenu yodoi or yodi, but yodecha, your hands, plural. Now, of course, the obvious question is, what is Rashi talking about? Which Beis HaMikdash is this that's built by Hashem's hands? So Rashi tells you that this refers to ve'emasai. When will this be fulfilled? Yibane b'shtei yodayim. When will the Beis HaMikdash be built, so to speak, metaphorically, with two hands of God? When will that happen? It says Rashi, Bizman Shahashem Yimlech Leilam Voed, in a time when God will reign eternal, which is the next pasuk, of course, Hashem Yimlech Leilam Voed. And that, when is that? La'asid Lavei. This is the future that is yet to come upon us. Shekol Hamalucha Shaloi, the time when all dominion will be God's. And that, of course, is a reference to the time of V'hoysel Hashem, V'hoya Hashem L'melech HaKala Oretz, as the Navi Zechariah said. And this refers specifically to the ultimate future, to the presence of Hashem that will be established in the third and eternal Beis HaMikdash, that will be fashioned, so to speak, by God's hands. Machin l'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem k'rin niyodecha. So that Mikdash will be built by the hand of God. And of course, so what Beis HaMikdash is referred to, the Mincha Blulu says, clearly, this is a reference to the third Beis HaMikdash. Rashi seems to follow that approach. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, suggests that maybe this is talking about the Mikdash on high, because after all we said, Machin l'shivtecha pa'alta, so Machin is mechuvan, so maybe this refers to the Beis HaMikdash on high. And the Kli Yakar, he wants to say this is talking about the Mishkan. But it's very hard to understand that in Pshuta Shel Mikra, on a literal level, it says that Hashem made this Mikdash with two hands, but the Mishkan wasn't made by Hashem with two hands, it was made by Bezalel, and by Eliyav, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the Jewish people. It's called Mishkan Moshe, it's not called Mishkan Hashem. So let's talk about that. Let's analyze this business of who builds the Beis HaMikdash. Is it built by us, or is it built by Hashem? Here, Moshe Rabbeinu prophetically intones, Mikdash Adnai, the Mikdash of Hashem, is Koinenu Yodecha, your hands are going to build. So even though Rashi here in the Chumash is not explicit, that he doesn't say this refers to the third Beis HaMikdash, Rashi in Maseches Sukkah, on page 41a, says it clearly. So we can understand that's his shita. Even though sometimes Rashi and Shas does not line up perfectly with Rashi and the Chumash, but he clearly alludes to it here in his commentary on the Chumash, and in Maseches Sukkah, Rashi says, quote, Migdash ha'asid sha'anu mitzapim, the future Beis HaMikdash that we anticipate, that we hope for, will be bonoy u'meshuchlal hu. It will be completed, fully completed, a fully built Beis HaMikdash, yigolei ve'yovei mishamayim, will be revealed and will arrive from a heavenly realm, Shanemar, as it's written, Migdash Adnai Koinenu Yodecha, a Migdash of Hashem, your hands have fashioned. So it's pretty clear that Rashi interprets this verse of Migdash Adnai Koinenu Yodecha, because he quotes this very same verse in Maseches Sukkah, and there he says clearly that it will be built by the hands of Hashem. By the way, we're in the Biurim book now on page Shin Aleph, Simcha Ches. So the word of Eila Shol Rashi, these words of Rashi, and as we mentioned, the Mincha Blula says essentially the same thing. Mevusasim al divrei chazal, these are based on the words of our sages, b'medrashim, in various medrashim, some medrash Tanchuma that it speaks about this in the end of Parshas Pekudei, and other places as well. It's clearly stated in the Zohar, in Chelek Aleph, in the first part, on page 28, clearly, explicitly, the Zohar says exactly this. And Shebohem Nemar, in these sources it says, Shebeis HaMikdash HaShlishi, that the third Beis HaMikdash, Yavim min HaShamayim, it will come from heaven. So what's the problem? The problem is that the Rambam, in the Laws of Kings, in chapter 11, Koveya, he establishes Shehu Yibane Bidei Adam, that it's going to be built by mortals. In fact, by a mortal. The Rambam says that when there'll be a person who will come from the house of David HaMelech, so the lineage is right, and he devotes his life to the study of Torah and the strengthening of Yiddishkeit, and he does all the things that we expect a Mashiach to do, then we can assume he's a likely Mashiach, Becheskes Mashiach. And then, when this Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash, Hareze Mashiach Bevadai, then you know for sure he's Mashiach. In other words, the Rambam rules, who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach. Not coming from God, not coming from heaven, but rather it's an act that has to be done by a human being, or a human being with the help of multiple human beings. Probably be thousands of people that will help Mashiach build the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we kind of balance these two? Who's going to construct the third Beis HaMikdash? Here in Oz Yasher, it seems very clear that it's going to come from Hashem. Rashi, in fact, says so. He alludes to it here in his commentary. He says so explicitly in Masechet Sukkah. Mincha Belulah in his commentary on Chumash also says this. And yet, we have this idea from the Rambam, which is halacha. Nobody argues with the Rambam. Nobody ever wrote a separate set of halachas. So the halacha remains like the Rambam. And who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach. In fact, that'll be the great litmus test. Is he or isn't he? Build the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see. So, how do we square the two? How do we reconcile these two Torah approaches? Both, of course, are Torah and true. V'yesh leimar. So the Rebbe suggests, shebepoel yiskayim u'shtei hadeis, that both of these ideas will not remain, that one will remain true in theory and the other will remain true in practice. They will both be fulfilled. How so? Either it's coming from heaven or it's coming from earth. How could it be both? So b'yachas le-Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, with regard to the third and eternal Beis HaMikdash, Kosev HaRambam, the Rambam writes, and this is found in Hilchas Beis HaBechida, in the laws which discuss the chosen home, that's how the Rambam refers to the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, in Halacha 4, he says the following, Binyan ha'asid lihibonis, the structure that will be built, the futuristic structure, the futuristic sanctuary, afal pi, even though the prophet Ezekiel described its details and the construction, the size, the contours, and so on and so forth. It's really not clearly explained. There are psukim in Yechezkel, but the psukim in Yechezkel are not clear. There's so much that they're unclear that Anshei Bayis Sheni, that the people of the second Beis HaMikdash, Kishabonu b'mei Ezra, when they did, in fact, build the second Beis HaMikdash in the days of our great leader Ezra, Banu kebinyan Shlema. They built it in the image and the likeness of the Solomonic temple that Shlomo HaMelech built. They tried to borrow some of the design from the words of Ezekiel. In other words, based on the design of Ezekiel itself, they couldn't build a building. It just doesn't say. It's not clear. We didn't know what to build. Now we know the foundations of the first Beis HaMikdash were left intact. It was still standing. So the second Beis HaMikdash was more or less built on the foundations of the first Beis HaMikdash. However, we have a different structure. There are different details. So whatever details we could incorporate from Ezekiel's description of a third Beis HaMikdash, we did. So essentially it was a hybrid of this first Beis HaMikdash with changes and modifications as per the instructions of Yechezkel, Ezekiel, regarding the third Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Rambam says, end quote. The Rebbe notes or comments, and he says, Yesh makom leimer, there's room to say that, Nimkein. Shalaitia efsharis livnis es kol Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi b'di Adam. The Rambam's words themselves would serve to prove that humanity on its own will not be able to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Well, because the foundations are no longer there. They've all sunken into the ground. We have no idea exactly where the Beis HaMikdash even is. All we have is theories today. There's no compelling and absolute proof of exactly where the Beis HaMikdash stood, other than we know it was this mountain. The only thing that is clear is the retaining wall, not only the western, the entire retaining wall standing. The western wall has traditionally been the place that has always been, as much as they cover it, it gets revealed, and it keeps so to speak, peeking from beneath the refuse, the garbage, and the earth they try to cover it with. And we say that the Shechinah is b'mayiv, that the Shechinah is on the western side, and that's the wall that's closest to where the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. So the western wall has always been revealed. And even this is a source of dispute, whether the primary western wall is slightly to the left of the western wall where it is today, or it's significantly to the left. Whether you accept that where the mosque is built, the victory mosque, that our enemies built on top of the site of the Beis HaMikdash to prove that Judea Capta, that the Romans' idea that the Jews are finished is actually so, and that Islam uber alles, so they built a mosque, a victory mosque over there. Who says they knew? They came along 700 years ago, 13 centuries after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. How could they know? What could they see? It's true, we know at one time there was some foundation still evident, still visible, because we have a story of Maseches Makis, Rabbi Akiva is going with his friends, and see a fox coming out of the spot that was once the Kiddush HaKadoshim. This is documented. So clearly there was once a time when something was left. Clearly that's not the case today. There's a rock outcrop. All right, I mean, some of the Rishonim said this is probably it. Others maintain that we don't know where it is. That's why it's, in my humble opinion,
isn't there even Shtia there?
We don't know that. There's a stone. It's a theory at this point. It's but a theory. There's a reason that the chief rabbinate of Israel says don't go on the Har HaBayis. There's a reason for that. And it's not political, I don't believe. Because we don't know. It's a very dumb idea to play games in a state of ritual impurity, to go into what might be Makim HaMikdash when we're doing an Aveda. It's not cool. It's not a smart thing to do. No, there are people who believe it's a good idea. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. Why take a chance? One in a million chance. Would you take cyanide, Tylenol? If one in a million has cyanide. It's only one in a million. They're distributed across the GTA. Why should it be you? I don't know. I wouldn't take the Tylenol. I'll stick with a headache. Why play Russian roulette? Anyway, we don't know for sure. That's the bottom line. Not all of this is anecdotal evidence. It's based on what? That Muslims came along 700 years ago and built themselves a temple, a mosque? Like, what's it based on? We don't have the actual structure. We don't have actual foundations. So how are we going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach will come and he'll open a book of Ezekiel, and what will he do? And in the second Beis HaMikdash, Rambam himself says they couldn't build a Beis HaMikdash based on the blueprints of Ezekiel, because they're not blueprints. They're details, but details that they're very broad and general, and they can't be concretized. So the Rambam himself will tell you that the Beis HaMikdash, based on the plans we have, can't be built. So the Rebbe says, if that's the case, so tell me, how in heaven is Mashiach simply going to build the Beis HaMikdash? How, based on what? A new prophecy? Doesn't say that's going to happen. Ram doesn't say anywhere God will come and give Mashiach a new prophecy, and he'll give him new blueprints, and then if he has new blueprints, then I'll go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. So all we have, Rak Oisim Chalokim Shal, Shal Tzurasim Nitan Lulmeidim Beis HaMikdash Hasheni. Really, all we have is what we could learn from the second Beis HaMikdash, which is Metur Hetev, which is very, very, explained in great detail in Maseches Midas. And we even have coins from the Bar Kochav Revolt, which depict the facade of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's how we have an idea of what the facade of the structure, of the actual sanctuary structure, might have looked like in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's how we have it, from the details of Maseches Midas, and like these little coins, which are like postcards from antiquity. The other parts of the Beis HaMikdash will then yushlamu adei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mashiach will, in other words, build what he could build. And the rest will come from heaven. So Mashiach will do his part, and then God will do the rest. It has to be that way. There's no other way to explain it. And since we have to explain it, even l'shitas HaRambam, we're forced to explain it that way, as the Rambam himself emphasizes that the words of Ezekiel are not lucid and clear enough for us to be able to build or develop a structure. So lefi hezber ze yuvan yaseida hahevdel ben divrei ha-medrashim v'azer ledivrei Rambam. Based on this principle, the Rebbe says we could understand why it seems that the Midrashim, which Rashi quotes in the Chablula, and then what the Rambam says, seem to be at odds with each other. Why would they be saying different things? So the Rebbe says simple. Sifrei Shel HaRambam, the Rambam's book, his compilation, is Sefer Halachas. It's codes. It's halachic codes. It's law. Ha'isik b'mitzvah ha-mutelas ha-bnei Yisrael. When the Torah talks to us in terms of halacha, it's talking to us in a manner that is technically and literally binding upon us. Here's what you need to do. Here's what's required of you. That's the meaning of halacha. And because that's what halacha reads like, halacha is not stories. Halacha is not allegory. Halacha is not medrash. Halacha is, here's what you need to do. It's Mishnah. What is Mishnah? Here's what you should do. How does Pesachim begin? How does the track they call Pesachim? How does it open? Mitchila evdei avei dezeno hori aveseno. In the beginning, our ancestors were idolaters. Does it start avadim hayinu b'mitzrayim? No. You know how it starts? It starts Oila ba asar beitkim later on there, and the evening of the 14th, you have to search by the light of a candle. In other words, the first technical, actual observance, the thing we make a bracha on, the fill a halacha, with regard to Pesach, is the night before Pesach, when we search for chametz. So since that's the first halachic observance, so Oila ba asar is how the Mishnah is, because that's what Mishnah is. That's what a sefer halacha is. And therefore, Masker Rakas Abinyan Beis HaMikdash B'Adam. He talks about the part of the Beis HaMikdash that will be built by people. But of course, V'lo Yasachelik Sheyered Min Hashmayim. But Ram doesn't emphasize the part of it, of the Beis HaMikdash that will come from heaven, because it has no place in a book of halacha. What difference does that make to us? How is that binding upon us? The answer is it isn't. And because it isn't, he doesn't say it. It's not a chelik meha mitzvah hamutal al bnei yisrael. It's not part of the mitzvah, which is for us. The Medrash, the Zohar Lo Mazeh, conversely, that speaks about a description of the Beis HaMikdash. It describes the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if you want to describe the greatness of a building that's going to be built by God, obviously, how would you describe it? Built by God. That's the greatest thing a building could be. That's why they emphasize the incredible and wondrous virtues of it. You know what's going to be so amazing about this new Beis HaMikdash? What? I'll tell you. That Mashiach's going to build it? Nah, that's not the most amazing thing about this new building. The most amazing thing about the future Beis HaMikdash, Shemetz Hashem, is Yigol HaVyavim Mishamayim. It's unheard of. A building will suddenly materialize out of nowhere. Shebizchusa, it's precisely because of this, Yizke L'kim Nitzchi, we will merit for its eternity. V'lo Yechar of Leil will never be destroyed, because anything made by the hands of a mortal, anything which is humankind made, is always going to rot. Cannot last for eternity. Nothing made by people lasts forever. But made by God, well, that's another story. And so that's why we have these two distinctions. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he describes Mikdash Adnai, Kein Yodecha, he's not talking about the halachic responsibility and obligation of the Jewish people to build the Beis HaMikdash or even identify the Har HaBayit. Rather, he's talking about the supreme virtue and quality of the third Beis HaMikdash that he prophetically envisioned. And that was a Beis HaMikdash built by the hands of Hashem. So that's how Azyasha concludes, with an eye to the future, ultimately what was the very distant future then, but hopefully is a very near future today, the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, Bonei U'Meshuchlo, all completed, Min HaShemayim. May it happen speedily and in our days. Amen.